It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The big question, how does the nation's unemployment rate get unstuck?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The economy added 151,000 jobs in October. Analysts expected a much smaller gain, but the percentage of people out of work didn't move, and the unemployment rate remains at 9.6%, according to the latest Labor Department report. With some analysis on what that report says, let's bring in Jill Schlesinger, editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch, with us every Friday, live from New York. Good morning, Jill. Good morning, Jill. All right, we're going to move along then. Moody's and Standard & Poor's are famous for judging everyone else's creditworthiness. Now the ratings agencies face their own judgment to cut their influence in Europe. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The plans are driven by European resentment over the debt crisis. Many European politicians and officials feel that the problems in Greece, Ireland, Portugal and Spain were aggravated unfairly by the rating agencies. Under the plans unveiled today, the agencies would be much more tightly regulated. They'd be required to give a country early warning before a downgrade. That would give the country a chance to challenge the new rating before it becomes public. Under another proposal, it would be easier to sue agencies if their ratings are judged to be wrong. But Simon Tilford of the European Centre for Reform says the new rules wouldn't change the ratings on many countries.
There are some very, very substantive concerns over growth prospects in a number of economies. And while that remains the case, the ratings agencies will only be doing their jobs if they draw attention to this.
Nevertheless, many concerns remain about the rating agencies' broader role in the financial crisis. Next week in South Korea, the G20 summit will also consider its own crackdown on the agencies. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
As I mentioned, the unemployment rate remains at 9.6%, according to the latest Labor Department report. We had a technical glitch just a moment ago, but now we do have Jill Schlesinger, editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. She's with us live from New York. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Who's creating these jobs?
We've got temporary services, retail sector, and the healthcare sector continues to keep creating jobs throughout the economy.
The healthcare sector and private employment, right? Private sector is what, 159,000 for the month?
Yeah, and that was a great number, more than twice than expected.
How can we have created so many jobs, Jill, yet the unemployment rate hasn't budged at all?
This drives people crazy. There are actually two separate surveys which are calculated differently. Just think about this. We need about 200,000 jobs a month to really put a dent in the overall unemployment rate.
And what about the report as a whole? Is it all good news?
It's not all good. We actually have that long-term unemployed, those folks who've been out of work for more than 27 weeks. There are still 6.2 million of those people. That's nearly 42% of all unemployed persons. And frankly, the temporary retail jobs, those could vanish pretty quickly. So a little bit of concern, but mostly really good.
All right. Jill Schlesinger at CBS Money Watch. Jill, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. European shares were lower to start the day, but they've flipped. Now they're up more than 0.5%, as a matter of fact, after that employment report came out. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 219 points, nearly 2%, to close at 11,434, the highest level for the Dow since just before the Lehman Brothers collapse.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
President Obama called Tuesday's GOP sweep back into the House control a shellacking. And now he's sounding a little more conciliatory on Bush-era tax cuts. The White House says Mr. Obama could propose a small extension of those cuts, maybe 1 or 2 years, for everyone, even those who make more than $250,000 a year. What about climate change legislation? How does a Republican takeover of Congress affect proposals that have floundered in the House for a while now? Marketplace sustainability reporter Adrian Hill is with us to talk about it. Morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Steve.
So tell me, what will all these Republican newcomers mean for big action on climate change?
Well, probably not as much as they'd like.
What do you mean by that?
Well, let's be clear. Big climate change legislation was already dead. The Dems controlling both houses couldn't get it through. They tried and failed. So sure, any sort of sweeping climate legislation is less likely now, but that's less likely than dead.
So, Adrian, the Obama administration's EPA is working on greenhouse gas regulations. I mean, what can the GOP-controlled House do about those?
They'll certainly try to do all they can. They might try to kill them. They probably will try to kill them or at least slow them down. The expectation is the House is going to call lots of hearings, spend a lot of time trying to block these guidelines. But right now in the Senate, Republicans and their Democratic allies have as many as 57 votes to stop EPA regulations. That's according to the New York Times. It's not enough to overcome a liberal filibuster, but it could change.
And they're working together, right? Bipartisanship.
Yeah, I guess so. The president did also express some willingness to compromise on energy in his press conference on Wednesday, so we'll see. There's some concern that federal funding for clean energy tech and research could take a hit, that Republicans' appetite to cut the budget, combined with many of their skeptical opinions on climate change, could really mean less money for scientific research. Also, fossil fuel interests, like big oil, spend a lot of money getting some of these Republicans elected, so they're going to be lobbying hard.
Are there any bright spots, Adrian, for proponents of climate change after this election?
Absolutely. Here in California, voters decisively voted against Prop 23, which means that California's clean air laws are going to stay in place. A lot of clean energy advocates are pointing to that as a really significant victory. And it's one sign that the meaningful battle over climate action and clean energy is moving away from the Hill and to the state and local level.
Marketplace's sustainability reporter, Adrian Hill. Adrian, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
And finally, it's a big horse racing weekend this weekend at Louisville's Churchill Downs. So the Wall Street Journal did this research on how profitable horses of certain names have been at the Breeders' Cup since the year 2000. Now, those horses that averaged the most money were named after historical or fictional characters like Thor's Echo and Tin Man. The favorite to win the race this weekend is Zenyatta, named after the 1980 Police album Zenyatta Mundatta. That name was on the list's music and dance category. It didn't even place or show. It finished fifth in average money. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The Haitian novelist Edwige Danticat has a new book out. It's a memoir this time, about art in the middle of horrible tragedy.
Some of it is born perhaps out of struggle, but out of spirituality and a great sense of strength and resilience.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the expatriate artist at work, next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.